Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled today because I have with me Zubin Sethna. Zubin is a professional, passive income, international bestseller, author, and speaker, and he uses his knowledge, skills, and experience of wealth-building principles and became financially free at age 22. He is an amazing author, and he has a passion for the world of money. He teaches entrepreneurs and small business owners a wide range of techniques to restructure their personal financial position in order to earn an abundance of passive income while simultaneously managing your personal and corporate expenditures. Zubin, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Vicki. Pleasure.
Just for those who have not had the pleasure of meeting you, could you tell us a little bit about how you came to this passion and purpose at the very young age? You're 22 and you've accomplished already so much. How did that happen for you?
Well, actually, I just turned 23 recently. I guess I started my entrepreneurial career around the age of 19, and that just started in a network marketing company, just as many other individuals my age with that entrepreneurial spirit had started off. And I guess the main focus there was that money game and discussion about passive income, residual income. And these techniques, as I progressed through my education and personally developed and so on and so forth, these terms started to become distinct within the industry, started to become distinct within outside sources of income as well. And the entire world of money just outright fascinated me. I mean, when you start to learn the intricacies of it and you start to study financial management within the traditional sense, because that was my next step. I worked for a traditional firm, a couple of them actually, and went into the role as a financial advisor thereafter. And as you start immersing yourself into that world, you start understanding the real differences between the way in which traditional individuals without that entrepreneurial spirit to them view money versus the true entrepreneurs that are looking to do something for a greater good on their own and just go out there and risk it all, and viewing the way in which they view money and view their financial blueprint. And as a result, looking at that emotional side of things was what started to fascinate me, and then also the intricacies within how money works, how powerful it is, the ways in which you're able to actually structure, and anybody really could do this, where they're able to structure their own financial position, whether they're outright broke or a multi-millionaire, just to structure yourself in order to become financially free, where you're earning that passive income, where you're earning a constant amount of cash flow in order to be able to spend your time as you may please, whether that be with charitable organizations, whether that be starting your own business to pursue something greater. Whatever it would be that you would be working towards would be an outright resemblance of yourself personally, right? And that's always been something that has intrigued me, and that has always been something that has brought me to life, just to see people truly living their passion and truly seeing what it is that they can in fact accomplish. Now, we all know that money has been a major criteria in many of our lives, where it's definitely brought out times of stress. It's definitely brought out patterns of our own behavior that we don't necessarily want to be a part of ourselves. So what if we were to actually take care of that money component? And I want all the listeners on here to think about this. What if your income that you earn through work came in passively with little to no effort on your part. How is it that you would spend your time? What would you want to do with your children, your family, your parents? Would you be visiting your parents more in their nursing home? Would you be spending more time with your children? What is it that you would be doing exactly with your time? What philanthropic organizations would you be a part of? All of this is what comes to mind when I'm thinking about financial freedom and passive income. It's the bigger picture here. It's not exactly just about the money side of things. It's the ability to be able to utilize your time in such a way that maximizes your purpose on this earth. And that's what I'm here to do.
Oh, that is so powerful. And I know you mentor so many people and you believe in mentorship. You actually said that that has done so much and have been responsible for your tremendous success. So tell us a little bit about who the greatest influencers were for you growing up.
Well, Vicky, like everybody, I've had good influences in my life and I've had bad influences in my life. And that's just a learning process as we all grow up. I would have to say that the best influencers in my life were people that specialized in one area, which I took to heart. And there were others that basically would specialize in other areas. And that's basically how I'd comprise myself to be where I'm at today. So the earliest influencers I could imagine would be my parents. And my parents were by far one of the greatest assets that I can ever be blessed to have had on this earth. They were the ones that first taught me, and this was not just my parents, this was my grandparents as well, because we'd all lived under the same roof at one point. And we may not have been the wealthiest family in the world, but they definitely taught me the asset of education and educating myself to pursue a greater good. In my family and in my household, it was unacceptable to simply think that education would be limited to just a high school degree or just a four-year college degree. It was more so looking at a behavior of lifelong education. This is exactly what my grandmother was practicing. This is exactly what my parents were both practicing. And it really built me into who I am today. Now, of course, I mean, being immigrant parents and whatnot, my parents' version of education has strictly been traditional college university level education, where you'd go through the ranks through your bachelor's, continuing on to your master's, potentially do a PhD, maybe have some continuing education courses in there, quite a few professional designations as well. And that was their idea of educating themselves. Of course, I took that a different route and I went into more of the unaccredited personal development world, right? So a lot of my education would be comprised of those thought leaders that we have today, individuals such as, just to name a few, Tony Robbins, Les Brown, learning from even individuals that have passed on, such as Jim Rohn, and just taking their techniques, taking their knowledge, and applying it into my own career, into my own business practices, is really what was needed for me as an entrepreneur to succeed to the level that I got to today. I guess those would be the biggest influencers in my life, and that category of education is something that I intend to stick with the rest of my life. Because let's get real, no matter how old we get, there's always something that we need to continue to learn. And I'm only 23 years of age right now. There is so much more that I have to learn than what I already have. I've learned a very small, tiny fraction of the financial industry compared to what there really is out there. So I'm going to be a lifelong learner regardless. It has to happen. Otherwise, I will not be able to serve my clients and do justice to the extent that I could. And as a result of that, that component of education passed on to me by my parents was by far the greatest asset I could have ever been blessed with. Without a doubt, I give credit to them for that. I definitely started ahead of game for that reason. No doubt about it.
Oh, that is so wonderful. And I agree with you. I think the idea of having a number of mentors is really important. It's been very important to me personally, rather than just having one mentor, being able to view perspectives from a number of different people's positioning and the great information they have to share. And that's really how we've built our whole business, is the idea of sharing ideas coming from many different places in order for people to formulate what's going to be good for them. So since you're such an expert in the area of, you know, finance, I'd love to hear a little bit about your takeaways in regards to traditional finance industry today.
Well, absolutely, Vicky. I guess just to state the experience here. So I've worked in the traditional financial industry, and I've also worked within the financial realm as an entrepreneur. within the traditional financial industry, I'm so blessed to have had that experience because I truly was immersed into understanding what it really was that these big, gigantic firms were doing and how it is that they structure clients' money. Now, I must be very clear over here. Banks and large financial institutions all have their place. They have their place in this economy and they have their place in society. And it is important for the time being in our current day and age that we utilize them for their place. However, it is when we start surrendering ourselves and surrendering our assets to these financial giants that things start to take a little bit of a tumble for us. And here's what I mean by that. Most individuals, when they go to their local branch or even their own financial institution or investment firm and they talk to their financial advisor, they need to understand a couple of things. And being a previous financial advisor, I have no problem in saying this. Financial advisors are one thing and one thing only. They're overglorified salesmen. That's it. That's all it is. They get paid based off of the number of assets under management that they bring in or the amount that they would sell in insurance premiums or whatever it may be. They are over-glorified salesmen. There is nothing else to it. Yes, they know a little bit about the product. Yes, they know how to structure it for certain clients. And there's nothing wrong with some of them. However, when the entire industry as a whole pushes for sales to be made on a regular basis, whether it is good for the client or not in some circumstances, and that's a very important topic as well, you need to be very careful as to who you're taking your advice from. So if you're looking at going to your financial planner at your bank or your local financial institution or even a financial giant especially, understand what you're getting yourself into. This is not going to be a vehicle to have a major passive income source from. There is a lot of brainwashed nonsense that has taken place. Right? People are looking at these mutual funds and segregated funds that are offered by their financial firms and thinking that these beautiful 6 to 8% returns, or even on the high end, when you're getting into the 10 and 12% returns, are now these crazy risk-averse or crazy risky investments here that they just really want to stay away from. And the reality is that when you're looking at an investment into anything, really, you have to look at the risk that is able to be pursued for yourself. There is no one area that can classify as low risk, medium risk, high risk, or anything in between. Everybody's got their own risk categories in terms of what they are comfortable with. The way you determine your category in terms of whether or not something is risky for you or risky for somebody else is based on your education and your education only. Now, let's put it this way. As an example, I'm heavily invested into the real estate world, and I understand quite a bit about specific markets when we're talking about real estate. My specific niche just so happens to be self-storage. That's what I specialize in. I'm very good at putting together rent-to-own projects. I've done the whole wholesale game, the whole rehab game in the past. I've done it all. However, when I'm looking at my own niche and what I specialize in, it is self-storage properties within specific states, within the United States and certain provinces in Canada, and that is it. So when I'm looking at risk-averse for myself specifically or my firm specifically, what would be taking place for me as a low-risk investment may be considered a high-risk investment for somebody that doesn't know what they're doing. That's how you got to cater yourself. You got to take ownership for your own financial position, for your own assets. If you want to be financially free, you need to be educated in the topics that you're investing into. And I'll give you a classic example as well. Right now, I'm just starting, and I've just recently had a discussion about this in May of this year. I've just started learning about revenue-generating websites. I know nothing about it. However, there are experts in the field that I'm working with who are well-known for this work. To them, this investment would be like an everyday job. It's nothing. It's low risk. They know what they're getting themselves into. They know how to structure the website. They know how to structure the revenue-generating portion of things. They know what their clients want, and they know how to execute. Me, on the other hand, doing the exact same work that they're doing, with the exact same investment, I'm looking at a high-risk situation here. I don't know a thing about websites. I mean, I may be 23 years of age, but I got to be honest with you. When it comes to technology, I'm the last person anybody would want to ask advice from. So anything to do with technology, I mean, I'm lucky I know how to turn on a computer, let alone start a website or run a website or whatever you want to call it. And as a result of that, that is a very high-risk investment. And so I have to understand that when I'm testing something out of this matter, I need to be willing to lose 100% of what I put into it, starting off. And that should be with everything. I'm not going to depend on this source of passive income at all until I feel that this has become second nature to me, at which point the risk level goes lower. I know how the process works. I know whether or not I'd be getting fooled by anybody. I know what to expect in terms of the whole taxation realm and how this affects me with transferring assets from U.S. to Canada, Canada to U.S., whatever it may be. I have to learn the entire story, or at least the big points of it, before I can determine what is good for me versus what isn't. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, it makes total sense. And since you are in the position of really mentoring a lot of people in the area of finance and so forth, with that, the power that comes with that, there's a great deal of responsibility that also comes with that. What challenges do you see for yourself in the delivery of this information out to the world?
Oh, well, Vicky, you're absolutely correct, right? As they always say, yes, with great power does come great responsibility. There's no doubt about it. The major challenges that I would be seeing going forward would be the fact that we are introducing this newfound knowledge to a crowd, to the world, that is not exactly used to this newfound entrepreneurial thought process. If you look at the proportion of entrepreneurs to the mass general population, yes, the age of the entrepreneur is definitely rising. And there are more that are coming about, especially with our millennial generation coming up and so on and so forth, the lack of jobs and so on and so on. However, there's also going to be a lot more skepticism that takes place. So I think it's very important to educate folks on what it is they're getting themselves into. Because let's get real, entrepreneurship and financial management for oneself is not meant for everybody. Earning a passive income source, and I have to say this, is not for everybody. There's only certain individuals that would really want it that bad. Some people are just content working their jobs, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? Well, my parents have a job. They're very successful at what they do, and I'm proud of them for that. So everybody's got their little goal in terms of what they want to work towards. However, when it comes to delivering this newfound information, I think the key is that it's got to be given to those who really want to pursue a path which is going to make a difference in the world. When we're talking about financial freedom over here, I don't just want to give this information away to any Joe Blow. That's not going to do justice to the globe as a whole. I want to give it to individuals who are really going to use their time to make the world a better place, to develop their skills so that they can better their own families, their own communities, something of greater substance than their own self, something that they can leave a legacy upon. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Right? And that's just it, right? So we have to be responsible in how we deliver this information on a greater scale, only because it's not meant for everybody, and there's no room over here to have. I mean, everything's going to attract both positive and negative energies. That's just part of life. And there's going to be some people that say, hey, this is a scam. There's going to be some people that say, oh, this works, and they're all going to be for it. There are going to be some people that are going to try it out, and it just doesn't work for them, right? They didn't acquire the proper education, or, I mean, something or the other may have happened in the markets that they weren't aware of, whatever it may be, and now all of a sudden they just don't like it. Some people will be absolutely thrilled that there's a crash coming up, as in the one that we will be experiencing, because that's definitely going to be taking place, and I'm saying this on a radio show here to be backed up for my credibility. There is going to be a crash that takes place in the future, the not-so-distant future, and that's something that many people are just completely oblivious to when we're looking at a market crash, right? So there are all these factors that have to come into consideration when you're looking at managing your own finances in order to provide a greater gain for yourself. And this may not necessarily mean investing into the stock market or day trading or whatever that may mean. To be quite honest, most people are not cut out for that. That's just not their realm. That's definitely not my realm, right? Everybody's got their certain criteria that they fit best with in order to provide their own passive income stream. And there are thousands of opportunities for passive income streams. The more seminars I go to and the more I learn and the more I educate myself, it's mind-blowing to see how many ways an individual can go about becoming financially free. And I think that's what's so critical about this and so amazing when we're looking at really revolutionizing the average entrepreneur in order to acquire such a state of being.
Wow, that is so powerful. And, you know, you're doing something that is really incredibly powerful, and that is you've authored a book, A Path to Financial Freedom, Tell us a little bit about how that book came about, because this is going to allow you to truly be influential with people globally across the world.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. And I guess when it comes down to it, with the path to financial freedom, the major influence was actually when my clients would come up to me and they would say, you know what, Zubin, it'd be really cool of you to actually put all this information that you teach into a book and just basically get the reader that is reading this book to get an understanding of what it is that is in fact possible. On many levels within this book, I talk about the richest of the rich, I talk about the poorest of the poor, and I talk about the entire middle class as a whole. And we're looking at financial patterns that take place. People will be able to relate to one of these categories that they're in. Right? So for example, our society is predominantly a debt-driven society. Many folks are in complete denial of that currently. And when they start reading this book, they'll actually understand, oh, okay, so this is in fact my money language. Or there are some people that are obsessive savers. I am one of them. I used to be an obsessive saver. That is good, but can also be detrimental in many respects. You have to know when to let go of your funds. You have to know how to allocate your funds accordingly. And so every single area has got their pros and cons to it. And that's what we discuss. Also in the book, I like to give people an understanding of what a dollar really means. This is one key component that so many people have struggled with. A dollar is not really worth a dollar. When we're looking at a rich man does not see a dollar as a dollar. A rich man sees the potential of the dollar to grow into something even greater. And really getting into the deep roots of that is critical for somebody to understand passive incomes so that they can, in fact, become financially free. I've also dedicated a specific chapter to understanding where they are at with their financial advisor today. It's my favorite chapter out of the entire book. It's called Bullshit Advice from Bullshit Advisors. And what it really does go into is getting that response to see as to what we're looking at. See what is in fact taking place with your financial advisor. If you are experiencing any of these trends that are taking place, or if you feel as if there's been something oversold, I want individuals to understand what's going on in the back end of the banks. I want them to understand how advisors are in fact being pressured to sell and hit their quotas, because that is a very important topic that people need to know before they get pressured into buying something that they really just do not need. Insurance has got its place. I have a lot of insurance on me. There's no doubt about it. However, there's no need for me to be overinsured by 5 or 10 times the amount that I really need, right? I mean, when people are investing into their 401ks or, in Canada, their RSPs, those investments have a certain place. But is it meant for every single person at every single time? No, not a chance. Every individual's financial situation is different. You have to look at that accordingly. And so that's what we do. We want to give people a little bit of a wake-up call to understand that, look, where you're at right now is just a result of the society that we have grown up in. And you don't know what's going on the back end. You may know a little bit of it, but you don't know the full story. And the only way you can, in fact, know the full story is if you've been immersed into that environment and have understood the back end side of things and have been one of those top salesmen that understand the secrets that are going on. That's the only way that somebody can really find out what is taking place. And realistically, your average advisor at your local bank or financial institution may not know that stuff themselves. And so how cool would it be for you to actually educate your own advisor on this type of deal, right? To see where they're at with that. That's what we really go into, and that's what we really dig into for our readers. And that's the goal of the book.
Fabulous. So wonderful. Well, you know, at such an incredible young age, I know that this is, you know, probably a very premature subject, but since you brought up the idea of legacy and the idea of money being a contributing factor to creating a legacy, what does that look like for you with the work that you're doing, with the wonderful book that you've written? What does the legacy at this point in your life look like for you, ideally?
To be honest, Vicky, my legacy is going to be this one thing. I want every single entrepreneur across North America to be financially free where their passive income exceeds their expenditures. Every single one of them. And the reason why is because I have seen so many entrepreneurs throughout my tenure of personal development. So many of them have got these wonderful, magnificent ideas. I mean, there's some that just had this new way of going to space. Some may be as funny as a cool underwear design, right? Whatever it may be, they're passionate about it, and they really want to take their product or service to market. They really want to take their sustainable real estate development project to market, and they really want to pursue that to an extreme. I want each and every single one of these entrepreneurs across Canada, the United States, and even Mexico, across North America, to be financially free. It should almost be as if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you first become financially free so that you can, in fact, work on what you really want to do full time. Because it sucks to see so many people with such great ideas stall themselves back or even be forced into the world of just quitting and giving up on their dreams because of money situations, because they got a divorce, because they now have a situation where they have to be a main caregiver for their family. And the job is what's bringing in money right now. I hate to see those passions go to waste. However, if these entrepreneurs were just financially free and did not need to worry about a damn thing, and mom is now needing some more assistance from her kids, well, hey, there's no job or boss that's going to tell you, hey, you're fired if you don't come to work for 2 years. Do what you need to do. Take care of what you need to take care of and go back onto your craft when you're able to do so at the appropriate time. That would be a beautiful creation, and that is my absolute dream. I've got a lot of life to live, and I'm not going to stop this until the day I'm dead. No doubt about it.
Oh, I just love that. And I want to thank you so much for the great contribution you're making, you know, to all of your clients, for gifting the world with your book, and for the contribution you'll be making, you know, across the globe. So, Zubin, thank you so much for being with us. I was wondering, is there a place on the web where people can go to connect with you, like a website?
Oh, absolutely. So people can always go to my main page, which is www.zubinsethna.com. So that is spelled Zulu, Uniform, Bravo, India, November, Sierra, Echo, Tango, Hotel, November, Alpha.com. So zubinsethna.com.
Fabulous. Zubin, thank you so much once again for being with us and sharing this wealth of knowledge with all of our listeners.
It's my pleasure, Vicki. Thank you for having me.
And for those of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.